This is Fresh Air. Sometimes when a great jazz composer dies, their lesser-known compositions die with them. The Mingus Dynasty Band is dedicated to keeping alive the best-known and more obscure compositions of the bassist and composer Charles Mingus. In fact, the new Mingus Dynasty record includes pieces that Mingus wrote shortly before his death that were never performed or recorded. My guest is the music director of the band, trumpeter Jack Walrath. He played with Mingus in the 70s. Walrath also has a new solo album, which we'll play a little later. First, let's hear the opening of the new Mingus Dynasty album, The Next Generation Performs Brand New Compositions. Mingus died of Lou Gehrig's disease in 1979. He wrote this composition, Sketch 4, in the last year of his life, when he could no longer compose at the piano. He sang the piece into a tape recorder. Since he could no longer beat time on the wheelchair with his hand, he sang with the metronome ticking behind him. How did you become the director of the Mingus Dynasty Band?
Well, I had played in it for off and on for a couple of years before it was under another person's leadership, and they had a falling out with Sue Mingus somewhat, and so I said, let me try it, and so I tried it. I tried to reinstall the feeling that Mingus had, and also the opening up or trying to make something new that Mingus was always trying to do with his music.
Oh, when you say that you want to capture the feeling that music that Mingus had, I mean, one of the things I think of him as having had as a band leader is a kind of fiery temper and a personality that would really push people to their limits and because of that get pretty extraordinary performances out of musicians. Is that what you're doing?
Well, basically, I don't try not to have the same personality because that was... That's a subject of controversy. Some people it worked, it pushed them to the limit. Some people it turned them off. But I tried to take the most positive aspects of his band leading, and especially his trying to do something different every time, and sustain the energy, which I think is missing in a lot of. So-called modern jazz that's happening now.
You were saying that Mingus's temperament, you know, his pushing people worked with some people, but other people it didn't work with at all. They resented it or they resisted it.
Well, I mean, it could be very intimidating at times. I thought that was there was no point in that. I mean, he was a very complex personality. He was kind of like a large child. I thought he was completely honest and. His temperament came through a lot, which probably was one of the things that accounted for his particular kind of music that he did. And I think, you know, I can understand a personality like that better than somebody that's always cool and calm and collected and sort of talks down to you, where Mingus never did that. He was just upfront about everything. But sometimes it didn't work. You have to put the stops on sometime.
Is there a story you could tell about a time when Mingus really pushed you and how you reacted to that?
Well, this was one of my first gigs, what I consider one of my first gigs. I was in my late 20s. Of course, I had other gigs. I'd play with Ray Charles for a year. And I've still had to get used to band leaders. And one time my... was playing a concert with them in Italy, and I took two choruses on Duke Ellington's Sound of Love, and he taps me on the shoulder and he says, if you ever take more than two choruses on this tune, I'm going to have you shot. And which he later apologized for. But at the time, you know, it took some getting used to. I think now in retrospect, I would have handled it differently. But at times I got intimidated by him. There was a lot of people before me that became so intimidated they couldn't stay with the band very long. But if you stuck with it and you realized what you had to do, and sometimes you had to threaten him back. But then that's the way it was. I've seen all kinds of things happen with Mingus where you thought people were going to kill each other, and the next minute he's got his arm around you and buying you dinner.
What do you think Mingus brought out in you as a player?
Well, he wanted me I was falling into a thing of imitating other guys like Freddie Hubbard, people like that, when I first went to New York, because that was the hip thing to do, the peer pressure. So he helped relieve the peer pressure, and I was able to go back to my original concept of just trying to do what I liked, because sometimes you'd play something, and he liked it a lot, and so, you know, the next night you thought, well, I finally got to him, and then you'd play the same licks again, and he would be disturbed, because obviously they didn't have the enthusiasm of the first night. So that's, as a player, he sort of took me back to my original purpose, which I really appreciated that.
My guest is trumpeter Jack Walrath, music director of the Mingus Dynasty Band. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. Trumpeter Jack Walrath is my guest. You wrote a piece in Downbeat a few years ago called Jazz in a Coma. And you wrote that the current problem of boredom and stagnation in jazz isn't the result of the lack of new creators, but it's the lack of creative situations. There are no bands. Do you think that that's largely still true, that there are really, like, no working jazz bands?
I think that, yeah, I think pretty much it is. The Mingus Dynasty is a working jazz band, so we've been able to grow. But there's not, you know, all the people that had bands seem to be dying. Now, the Art Blakeys, the people that had concepts, and most of the things now are thrown together bands, or the bands that are working are financed by large record companies. And frankly, the music is to me, sounds mostly like recreations of things. It's funny, like, when that 20-year-olds are telling 40-year-olds now that you are too far out, where it was the other way around, of course, 25 years ago.
You have a new solo record of your own, in addition to your work with the Mingus Dynasty Band, and that record features a jazz band with strings. Right. And tell me why you wanted to bring these two forms together, the small jazz group and a string ensemble.
Well, I like classical music. I listen to a lot of classical music because I am a composer. It always seems to be a thing of ego thing with jazz musicians that most of them want to make a record with strings. So I wanted to do something a little different, not approach it from a commercial sounding or this kind of a lush pad of ballad type thing. But I actually took a couple classical pieces, one by Albinoni, one by Messiaen, and played them. I reorchestrated them for jazz quintet and 8 strings, and I did an arrangement of Mingus tune and a straight ahead tune I wrote of my own, and a couple extended compositions of my own where I use a few from 20th century to Gregorian chant to 20th century techniques. I was just wanted to make an artistic statement.
I want to play some of Faith, which is one of the compositions that you wrote that's featured on your new album. Would you say something about it?
Well, part of it I wrote when I was still in school in Berkeley. The beginning part, which is written with serial technique, which is known as also known as a 12-tone technique, but I try to humanize a little more, not stick to a strict 12-tone thing, and it goes through the beginning melody I actually heard in a dream when I was living in Los Angeles about 20 years ago, and there's different things from different periods in my career all the way up until a week before this was recorded in concert. I think it was September 10th of last year.
Well, we'll hear some music from the beginning of Faith from Jack Walrath's new album, Gut Feelings. You grew up in Montana. Was there much jazz there when you were growing up?
No, not really. It was Dixieland jazz. It was the first thing I got into. When I started playing when I was about 9, and when I was 18 when I left, I was still basically into traditional jazz. But as far as Montana, there was no jazz. There was no Dixieland jazz. But one thing I'll say about it. Again, there was no peer pressure. Like most of the people, musicians I've met from Montana, or even people in other walks of the arts, pretty much have their own way of doing things.
Because there aren't a lot of other people to imitate.
Right, and not to imitate, but just not to tell them, well, that's not that good and that's not bad. And it kind of makes you think that maybe a taste is an inherent thing, that... I mean, people think you can teach people to enjoy something, some art, some heavy-duty art, that you can teach them to do that, but maybe that's not quite totally the case. Maybe taste is an inherent thing also.
Did being white have an effect on who you played with or how you were perceived within jazz when you started playing?
No, not really, because... being that, frankly, because there was no black people, there was no chance to become prejudiced against anybody. And it was funny, like, I remember, like, people were ashamed of Louis Armstrong. Like, many black people seemed to be ashamed of him, called him an Uncle Tom and everything. But when I saw Louis Armstrong, which was the first live music I ever saw, I wanted to be that guy. So I never really thought about that.
But did people think about you when you started playing in large cities, which you weren't used to being in? Did it make mm-hmm. a difference to other musicians who you were playing with, who were black, that you were white? Was that ever a source of friction?
Well, that comes up sometimes. Yeah, I mean, there's an understandable paranoia because there was so much theft. But most times I've been able to overcome that. I've actually kind of played been able to break through in a few bands, a few people that were not endeared that much to white people because of the rip-offs and everything.
You're talking about musical theft.
Yeah, right. And so, I mean, it's, you know, there's paranoia. I mean, everybody's at each other's throats. That's another thing that bothers me is when I go into a club, I either see an all-white band playing or an all-black band, which seems to have come up again now since the last 10 years or so, or since, say, 1980 on, it's become more segregated again, where in the 70s it seemed to be much more integrated than it is now.
Trumpeter Jack Walrath, he leads the Mingus Dynasty Band. His new solo album, Gut Feelings, is on Muse. The new Dynasty record, The Next Generation Performs Brand New Compositions, is on Columbia. This is Fresh Air.